You know that old cabin up on Mercado Pass? Well, years back, a man named Booker lived up there with his Injun wife and half-wit son. They kept to themselves mostly, but one night I was in the saloon when his wife stumbles in. She's all bloody and crazy with fear. Seems her husband had killed their son and tried to kill her too. And this is why. See, whenever folks was traveling by, Booker'd invite them in for supper. And soon as they'd sit at the table, he'd murder them with an axe, and he'd throw their bodies in the cellar. This carried on for some time. Well, once, a Ute Injun come by to visit his wife, and whack! When his next intended victim happened to ask, "Hey, you ever get any Indians around here?" Well, the half-wit son replied, "Can't you smell the one Papa just put in the cellar?" Well, Booker went berserk, killed the boy and the visitor before his wife made her escape. Well, posse got up there right quick, but Booker had vanished. When they looked in the cellar, they found more bones than you'd find in Boot Hill. So, if you travel that way, boys, you best steer clear of that cabin. Booker the Butcher may be laying for you, along with all the ghosts of them folks he murdered.
Welcome, Chimpians, to the Halloween episode 2010 of Chimp Out Radio. I am your host, Mr. DJ Stupnig, and tonight, Birdman is going to interview Black Metal 84. We're also going to hear from UK Darky Destroyer. He's going to tell us a little bit about his new show, which is known as Chimp Out Radio Britain. And Justin Nigger is going to come in and do a top 10 with us and do some Niggeroki. And tonight, because it's Halloween, I, DJ Stupnig, am going to go risk life and limb to try to contact organisms from the other side. That's right. I'm going to go to a haunted swamp here in western Michigan. Dudgeon Swamp has a history of paranormal activity. It dates back to the 1930s. We're going to investigate the spot where several people were murdered in the 1930s, and a plane crashed right on top of it in the 1970s, and the bodies were never recovered. People have gone out there and experienced car failure. They've seen nooses hanging from trees, people hanging from trees, eyes glowing in the dark. It's going to be some interesting stuff. So go get your apple cider, grab your pumpkin and carve it. Do whatever it is you want to do, because one full hour of Chimp Out Radio starts now. Here, anybody that wants to go can join me. You're not scared.
Oh, yeah, like we're going to go out in the woods with a strange guy. That's not a horror show.
Starting
now, is it? Sometimes it can be fun.
Yeah, see, I like you. I want to talk to you about. Have you ever heard of this place called Dudgeon Swamp?
Nope.
Never heard of it? Okay. It says in the 1920s, a family moved to Newaygo County, buying 1,300 acres. It's known there were murders, incest, and madness.
So that's almost about right for up here.
Sounds right, yeah.
Okay, so you guys probably elected them the mayor, and then...
Okay,
reports of sightings, weird noises, voices, eyes in the darkness, nooses hanging from trees, and inside one of the old barns, weird happenings with vehicles that go out there. Many other occurrences, well known in White Cloud. Not many people dare go out there because of its history. But I'm going to dare. I'm not scared.
I have no idea.
Well, that's pretty much how it went. I just drove around White Cloud and stopped and talked to some locals, and a lot of people have heard the legend and heard stories, but they had no idea exactly where Dudgeon Swamp was. So I got a little frustrated, but just as I was about to give up, I was walking out to my car, and this lady came out from the store I was in and said, "Hey, wait, we found somebody who not only knows where Dudgeon Swamp is, but she knows the legend, and her children have been out there and seen some crazy stuff." So let's take a listen right now. Yeah.
She knows exactly.
You do? Awesome. Oh, no, wait, that's so cool. What's your first name?
Pat.
Pat. How long have you lived in White Cloud?
Since 82.
Since 82. Okay. Thank you, by the way.
You're welcome.
And can you tell the people listening a little bit about the legend of Dudgeon Swamp?
Well, the only thing I know about it is that there was said to be a family that lived back there, and I don't know the if they were abused or what the deal was, but apparently a couple of the young men got hung out there or something.
Really?
Yeah, and what? People think they see people hanging from trees out there.
Was this back during before civil rights? It was during the 30s, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Do you think there might have been a lynching?
I believe that's what happened. But you know, the stories have just got changed over time. My kids used to go out there and
really
be freaked out. You know?
Did they see anything cool? Or?
They think that they see shadows and fog like stuff. You know, and they think they've heard things out there before, but. It's been so many years since the kids were out there. I don't even remember what they said, but.
Oh, well, do you know where the place is?
I do.
You can give me directions?
I do.
All right, let me get a piece of paper out here.
Right to the light here. And you take a left. That's baseline.
Okay, so left on baseline.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Right, tonight in the studio we have UK Darky Destroyer with us, and hey UK, how are you doing? It's pretty early there in England right now.
Yeah, it certainly is, Birdman. It's like 5:20 in the morning right now. How you doing, sir?
All right, man. Just moving right along with the next episode of Chimp Out Radio. How's the work coming along with Chimp Out Radio Britain, our newest addition to the Chimp Out Radio family?
It's coming along just fine, mate. I've got some awesome tunes lined up, awesome guests. Also, I intend to sing on a very, very special tune called Devo, called Whip It.
Yes, there's many possibilities for that song. I believe I came up with my own a few years ago. Whip 'em good.
If you have a coon, you must whip it.
Yes. If you don't know already, we're doing a second show on the Chimp Out Radio family, Chimp Out Radio Britain, which is taking a certainly British view to the nigger problem across the world. And I really hope you guys can get Latrine and Malificarum on the show as soon as possible.
Yeah, me too. Definitely. Latrine has expressed an interest, and hopefully I'll get Malificarum. He's a good pal, and I'm definitely very, very positive that he will give his personal insights into the nigger problem in the UK. That's you, Birdman.
He's a pretty funny guy. I mean, every time we've had him on the show, it just cracked me up, and it's going to be more of the same if you manage to get him on the show again, onto your new show.
Yeah, of course. Also, there's many other UK guests that I've got lined up. Many UK members that have recently signed up, and I'm hoping to get them on as guests to express their interests and their unique insight into the nigger question, or the coon question, as we call it in Britain.
Yes, he already released Chimp Out Radio Britain #1, the UK Darky Destroyer show, and if you haven't listened to it yet, make sure to go into the Chimp Out Radio thread and check it out if you're a member. But we have a news story tonight, and this is really quite funny because somehow, some way, niggers prove to be a different species once again. And the story goes as such. A local shopping mall installs a high-pitched device to drive away young teenagers. Now, could you imagine a town with one of these installed on every lamppost? We wouldn't have any nigger problems anyway.
It would definitely solve the coon question around Britain. All you have to do is just stick job application forms on all the posts that they hang around, and they'd be out of there, you know. They'd be gone, mate. Who do you reckon, sir?
And the story goes as such. Gallery Place Mall business owners met with district officials a few weeks ago to voice their concern that loitering teenagers, who sometimes get into fights, which is most of the time, in one of the city's busiest retail and entertainment strips were costing them customers. The result of that session premiered this week, a device that emits a high-pitched, headache-inducing sound that only young teenapers can hear. So we're pretty much bringing the teenaper niggers down to the status of dogs. They can hear things that humans can't hear.
Exactly. You know, if you get a dog whistle and you blow it really hard, you'll notice that all the niggers just seem to go whee! Straight out of the fucking area. Because they hear sounds that we cannot, because we are humans and they are some sort of monkey.
Yes. Correct? Yes, of course they are. I personally believe that they are a slightly devolved version of Homo erectus, which existed in Africa many thousands of years ago. But the story goes on. Gallery Place Mall has become a popular hangout spot for teenapers in recent years, and the site... and was the site of a nigger brawl last month that spilled into the metro system and left several passengers injured, ending with the arrests of three niggers. The niggers Maurice Arnold, 19, Dwayne Cooper, 19, said they could barely hear the tone, just a tiny beep, beep, beep. Nigger Arnold said use of the device was discrimination and shit against the young teenagers, know what I'm saying? Who make up the majority
of
the teenage crowd hanging around the block at night. It'd be kind of mean, ain't it? It said, even if the nigglet were to complain, know what I'm saying, they ain't gonna be taking it seriously and shit, know what I'm saying? They don't see us as having a voice, know what I'm saying? And the nigger is absolutely right. You don't have a voice. You aren't there to buy anything. You were just there to wolf whistle and you were there to cause trouble. You're there to cause trouble, start fights, and gawk at white women's. So you're not actually a paying customer, nigger, so it's time for you to leave the mall. You have no business being there.
Yes, exactly. You are not paying customers. You have no right to be in an establishment frequented by white human beings. So would you please leave? And if you do not leave, we'll play this beep, beep, beep sound.
Yeah, it's going to give poor Darnella a migraine. I guess he'll claim disability on that. I be having migraines and shit. I can't work.
Yeah, that bitch. If it all be whitey's fault, know what I'm saying? I need reparations.
The next thing you know, they're going to hit the nigger lottery and try to sue the mall for giving them permanent migraines.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time. You remember what happened to the escalator?
Yeah. We actually talked about the escalator on one of the past Chimp Out Radio episodes. I forget which one it was, but that was really quite funny. You know, some old grandma got some part of her weave or something caught up in the escalator and while having a heart attack, and the escalator killed her.
And then all of a sudden the family said, "Holy Jesus Christ, there's a damn escalator in these faces and shit. He killed my grandmommy."
The fact remained that the old Boone had a heart attack long before the escalator got a hold of her, and yet they still sued. So, you know, it's just more instance of niggers trying to hit the nigger lottery by suing.
It's just one more example of gives me that.
It just makes me wonder, when are people going to wise up? When are people going to realize that niggers are simply just useless creatures that are here on this earth because whitey has been supporting them for the last 500 years? You know, I'm really not a big fan of slavery. I think slavery should have never existed, because if slavery hadn't existed, the niggers would have died out a long time ago.
Exactly. If you'd have known that they would have caused all these problems, you'd have picked your own damn cotton.
Yes, absolutely. You know, it might have sounded like a good idea at the time, but we were actually propagating a species here. I mean, I guess, you know, the slave owners must have been like, they might as well have been animal rights activists by saving these niggers from, you know, certain death in Africa, which would have ultimately happened. And colonialism, too. I mean, colonialism in Africa kept them alive for a few hundred years, too. So.
Yes. quite correct. In fact, if you don't know, this year is the Congo, the Democratic Republic of Congo's 50th year of independence from Britain and Belgium. It is also the 50th successive year of absolute chaos in the region. Now, let me think what is going wrong with this situation.
And of course, you know, before they actually got their independence 50 years ago, it was actually a productive country to some extent, but when the niggers took their own country back over, it became a squalid shithole again. And that is the case in every single African country, sub-Saharan African country. They are all squalid shitholes.
They most certainly are, sir.
Well,
you go from Liberia, from West Africa, to East Africa, to Ethiopia, to Somalia, to Kenya. There is no difference. The only difference is in the name.
Yeah.
They are all complete shitholes of nothingness. There is nothing there. This is not human. It is a complete place of waste and nothingness.
Well, the last holdout was South Africa, and South Africa has even gone to the niggers. And unfortunately, South Africa 20 years ago was the best country in Africa, but now that when Mandela took over, he just turned the country into a complete shithole again. And once again, you know, proves our point that niggers are useless and they turn everything they touch into shit. It's like the reverse King Midas effect.
Yeah. Everything the white man touches turns to gold in Africa, and it was proven by the fact that everything that the white man went in there, he dug mines, he extracted gold, platinum, diamonds, and then when we left, there were schools, roads, hospitals, infrastructure, and now what have you got left? Now the white man has gone, there is just nothing but bongo parties across the board, chimp outs and bongo parties. What do you expect?
I don't expect anything from niggers, to be honest with you, and most people on Chimp Out don't. But hey, UK, it was great having you on tonight with us, and I look forward to hearing the next episode of the UK Darkie Destroyer Show, a.k.a. Chimp Out Radio Britain.
Thank you very much, Birdman. I'll bring out a show absolutely as soon as I possibly can, and when I do, it will be absolutely awesome. Thank you very much for having me on, sir.
Chimp Out Radio!
It's a good radio station. I like hearing DJ and how he's helping to fight the good fight.
Talking about the ghetto. Funky, funky, get out. Trying to survive, trying to stay alive.
Get
Back to the story. So I went to the library, and the librarians in the history department told me some interesting things.
You know what the weirdest true story is?
What is?
Charlie Barr living in that bus. That's the weirdest true story.
Tell us the legend of Charlie Barr and his bus.
He was an old, old man. I think he was very rich. And he was like a hermit. Mm-hmm. And he used to ride a bicycle into town and drink goat milk. And he would he'd come into the reference room here in the library,
yeah.
And he'd take the most obscure book he could find,
yeah.
And open it up and lay a $20 bill in it and shut it up and put it on the shelf.
Really?
And whoever opened that obscure book got the $20. But nobody ever knew it was there until...
Except you.
The reference librarian. Well, I'm not the reference librarian, but she found it one time and she realized what he'd done.
Really? And then you guys just like went down and took every book off the shelf and said, give me $20, right?
But the thing is,
no,
the legend is that Meedy Hodell murdered Doc, her husband.
Okay.
Fun she did the father-in-law too.
Really?
And she poisoned the father with strychnine.
Really?
I got a book on it. Stuff.
There's a book on it?
Yeah, but it's...
Maybe there's a $20 bill in it.
It's right here.
Oh, it's right there. Of all the books, it just happens to be right behind me.
Well, that's the name of it.
Well, there it is right there, Dungeon Swamp.
Yeah.
Holy cow, I can't believe that was sitting right next to me.
Yeah.
It's called The Deaths of David Romy Doc Hodell in Romy in Newaygo County, Goodwill Township, White Cloud, Michigan in 1922. We have a date now.
She's got all of it.
I've got everything.
Yeah.
What do you need?
But there was also a plane crash in the 70s.
Really?
Right.
So there's more than just one legend.
Really? What did the plane crash on Dungeon Swamp?
Yes.
And everybody died.
It took them like a week to find the plane.
And nobody found the bodies or the plane.
So it's like your own little Bermuda Triangle up here. Okay, so apparently there was the Dudgeon family and the Hodell family?
Hodell.
And the Dudgeons and the Hodells.
The Dudgeons owned all the property. And his daughter married Hodell.
Dudgeon's daughter married a Hodell.
Right. Meedy married Hodell.
Okay.
And Meedy's mother, the one that you said looked like a...
But ugly. Yeah, a hag.
Okay. She poisoned Meedy's father-in-law with strychnine.
Yeah, it says here, the newlyweds, along with Romy's father, moved in with the Dudgeon family. There was much hostility between the Dudgeons and the Hodells, whatever. Right. And one day after Meeta made the old man Hodell a cup of tea, he suddenly became ill and died, so they think she poisoned him.
Right.
Yeah, it says, sometime later, Romy Hodell was found hanging from a rope in a neighbor's barn. Suicide is quickly dismissed when the sheriff noticed Romy's feet were touching the ground and that he had bruises on his head. That's a smart sheriff. He picked right up on that. So, news of the murder spread fast and kindled an already widespread dislike of the Dudgeon family. A lynch mob was formed, and there's a picture of them here. And one night, they dragged out the occupants of the Dudgeon home. The mob threatened to hang each one if they did not confess. The suspects... No, that's not duress.
No.
That'll hold up in court. The suspects did and soon found themselves safely in jail, with the word safely in quotes. However, when questioned by sheriff, they denied any confessions. That's what happened. But let's hear about the legends of the ghosts and things. What have you heard about strange stuff?
But you know, people come in and they see circles in the woods.
Yeah.
So they
circles.
See spheres floating around in the woods. We just laugh and chuckle. I mean,
yeah.
Because to us, the Charlie Barr story about this grungy old man was...
So whatever happened to Charlie?
Oh, he died, and his daughter from Chicago took him and buried him in Chicago.
But he was living in a bus, though.
Yeah, he was eccentric. He was so intelligent that it was just phenomenal. And dirty. He was really dirty.
Yeah.
I don't know what his story was. We never found out. He just came one day and... But
wow.
No, and like I said, the airplane crash.
Yeah.
That was a big thing, too.
Yeah.
In the 70s, you know.
I think, you know who I think killed all those people? It was probably Charlie and his bus. Killed him with $20 bills.
No.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time. I'm going to stick around for about 2 hours. I'm going to go through every obscure book and try to make enough gas money to get home, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thanks again.
Hey, everybody, did the news get around about a guy named Butcher Pete? Old Pete just flew into this town and he's chopping up all the women's meat.
He's hacking and whacking and smacking. He's hacking and whacking and smacking.
got a long, sharp knife. He starts chopping and don't know when to stop. All you fellas better watch your wives, cause he don't care whose meat he chops.
He keeps hacking and whacking and smacking.
Special guest who is quite a regular on the show, Black Metal 84. How are you doing tonight?
Not too bad. How are you doing there?
Oh, I'm doing excellent.
You want to talk about the spookiest day of the year, huh? Pun. That was terrible.
Spook.
Spook.
Yeah, speaking of spooks, you know, Niglets sending their Niglets into the nice neighborhoods to get candy, but you have a Halloween story for us there, Black Metal.
I certainly do. As the usual, the niggers love bussing their youngins into the white neighborhoods for their gibsma. Many, many years ago, there's this giant family, probably like two sows, four kids each, and like a teenager. I don't remember, you know, age or anything, but they come up to my door.
So the combined weight of this whole family was about a metric ton?
Sounds about right. I would say a metric ton is a very conservative estimate. They come up to the door. My mom's handing out candy, and she's just giving them one piece at a time. They're getting angry because they ain't getting more than one piece.
Oh, they want the whole bag. They want the whole bag of Skittles or Reese's Cups or whatever, you know. They gives me that.
Yeah. So my mom tells them just one at a time for everybody. And all of a sudden, this one, like, probably 6 or 7 year old Niglet tries, you know, to run and dash in the door to try to get to the candy bowl. My mom just turns around and backhands a fucker.
Oh, he's just practicing his, he's just practicing his skills for stealing things later and breaking into people's houses, so it comes natural to these Niglets.
Oh, it does. Whenever she gave him a good old slap, the mammy started ooking and eeking, and my mom just told him to fuck off and slammed the door on him. So it was a nice day. We obviously stopped handing candy out after that, but it was just the image of my mother backhanding this little shit like nothing. It just makes me laugh to this day.
Yeah, you really wish that more humans would backhand wayward Niglets when they get out of hand, but most humans are afraid of. Yeah, because it may be construed as being racist. Oh, you be racist. You be slapping my kid for grabbing all that candy. He deserves all that candy because he be a good boy and shit.
Yeah, he deserves all that candy for running in your house. He don't belong there.
Anyways, you have any more interesting stuff to add there, Black Metal?
No, nothing else is really worth it.
Well, as far as I have to contribute is the costumes that the Niglets roam around in. Usually, either they fill the Niglets with fake jewelry to emulate the favorite rap star, or the Niglet just dresses in normal clothing and expects candy. It's not like they go out of their way terribly to go down to the Walmart and buy creative costumes. The Niglets will pretty much come as they are, which is scary enough to begin with.
You don't really even have to go spend that much money. You can do just a little bit from around the house. But still, they will just show up in whatever they're wearing, call it a day, and ask Bo Gibbsma.
Yo, Leroy, I done spent all my money on crack rock. You're just going to have to go without a costume this year.
Yeah, and so I'm sure if the Niglets are out trick-or-treating, too, and they happen to see a bike laying around in some kid's yard, they're going to steal that, too.
Probably.
Yeah, Halloween is quite a time for Niglets because, as was mentioned before, I'm convinced that a bus comes into the Niglet neighborhoods to collect all the Niglets to go into Whitey's neighborhood in order to get the best candy, because you know darn well, if the Niglets go into their own neighborhoods, A, they're either going to get shot at in a drive-by, B, the big fat mammy at the door is going to give them consume chicken bones and whatever's left from the chitlins, or C, the bigger Niglets are going to beat up the little Niglets for having a better costume than they has.
They definitely take, like, you know, big old Lincoln Town cars and vans and shit, just take them down here in droves. They love doing that. They've done that since I was a kid, and they do it to this day, so.
And you can hear them coming up, too, because the trunk's rattling. They're playing Jay-Z on the amplifier. And, you know, the Lincoln Town car is three different colors and has two different kinds of hubcaps on it. And it's usually running in very poor shape, blowing black smoke out of the back end because they never bother to change the oil. So if you live in a white neighborhood, just be reminded, a good idea is to get a couple beware of dog signs on the front. You might not get as many regular kids there, but I'm sure beware of dog signs will be noted by the niggers. That's, of course, if they can read. But if they see a big black and red sign, usually that means trouble. Either that, a good idea is, if you're handing out candy, dress up like a police officer.
They won't know the difference.
They'll come up to the door and see some police officer handing out candy, and they will run. Run faster than you've seen any other Niglet run ever before in their lives. So
that's because they know Mammy has a warrant out for her arrest, or Pappy does. Somebody hasn't paid their rent. They're going to get closed on something. I don't know. Cops are going to show up real soon. Oh, there's a cop there.
And that's another thing about Niglets trick-or-treating in their own neighborhoods. They have to get by the 10-foot-tall grass, the yard debris, cars broken down in front, pit bulls chained to the fence, and everything else. So usually in a nigger neighborhood, it's almost impossible for them to even get up to the door, and especially if it's a drug dealer house, because they got cameras there. And if there's people coming to the door, the drug dealers are going to think, oh, shit, it be the popo. Because they're oblivious to the fact that it's Halloween, you know. So, oh, shit, there'd be a bunch of midget popo out there. We got to do something. Let me get my rifle.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what it is. It comes by the door, they're just going to shoot it.
Yeah. So, like I said, they get the buses, they load the Niglets up there, go to the nice neighborhood, and then they get their candy. And when they do get their candy, they're pissed off that they're only getting one piece of candy at a time.
Yeah, the little kids, the little human kids, are happy that they're able to go out in the neighborhoods and still get candy. Even if it is only one piece, sometimes two, they're still happy and respectful.
So. Oh, sure. This neighborhood that I just moved into is really quite nice, and I don't see niggers anywhere for miles, and it's going to be a good trick-or-treat because they're all human kids, and there's a lot of little kids in the neighborhood that are going to take full advantage of it. And I've met a lot of the parents and neighbors that are around here, and they seem like really nice people. I'm living in a good place. It's going to be a good Halloween, but with one exception, 2 miles away from here is a housing project that was built in the 70s. And I can almost guarantee my little white peaceful neighborhood is going to have a bus pull up or a couple Lincoln Town cars pull up to unload their niglets into my neighborhood so they can get, you know, they can get their Gibbs meat at.
Well, man the battle stations, that's all I can tell you.
Yeah, I don't have a pit bull or anything, so, you know, the niglets will come right up. Gibbs meat at. Give me that candy and shit.
That's why you get those beware of dog signs, like you said. Or you could, you know, if they have a picture of a dog in bright colors, that always helps too, because we all know they can't really read. So bright colors and pictures always make the difference.
Well, hell, if I see a bunch of niglets coming into my neighborhood, I could be a real dickhead and wear a white sheet with a pointy hat. That will drive them away real quick. Maybe put a cross out in the front yard and light it on fire.
Dear God.
But, you know, chances are I'm the one that's going to get arrested for that. So.
Oh, yeah, cops are going to be called.
yeah, the niglets are going to be pissed off. Well, Black Metal, it was nice having you on tonight. We have other guests that are coming along. Did you have a good time tonight?
I always have a good time on here just because you all love me so much. How could I not?
What would we do without you? You've been on the show probably 6 or 7 times at the very least. And we always enjoy having you and your sense of humor here. So thank you for coming aboard with us.
I thank myself, really.
Yeah, pat yourself on the back.
I am.
And go back to doing whatever homoerotic shit that you do in your spare time.
It's not homoerotic if you enjoy it too.
You've sent pictures, and believe me, my toilet bowl has gotten plenty of vomit in it that I had to clean up. So don't give yourself too much credit there, buddy.
I always will.
Thank you again. Ladies and gentlemen, Black Metal 84.
See ya.
If you knew Jigaboos, then you'd know why I feel blue, 'cause Jigga, you Jigaboo. Well, I hate you niggas, I hate you Jigaboos. Jigaboo, Jigaboo, oh, I fucking hate you coons. Oh, Jigga, you Jigaboos. Well, I hate you niggas, I hate you Jigaboos. Jigaboo, Jigaboo, ugly motherfucking Jigaboo. Oh, Jigga, you Jigaboos. Oh, well, I hate you niggas, I hate you Jigaboos. I hate you Jigaboo, with the hate so strong and true. Oh, Jigga, you Jigaboo. Well, I hate you niggas, hate you Jigaboos. Jigaboo, Jigaboo, ugly motherfucking Jigaboos. Oh, Jigga, you Jigaboos. Oh, well, I hate you niggas, hate you Jigaboos. I hate you Jigaboo, with the hate so strong and true. Oh, Jigga, you Jigaboos. Well, I hate you niggas, I hate you Jigaboos. Well, I hate you niggas, hate you jigaboos.
Okay, today is October 9th. It's about 20 till 8 p.m. And I'm here with my friend John, and we are about to take off as soon as these girls show up, and we're going to head out to go see Dudgeon Swamp in White Cloud, Michigan. How you feeling?
Excited.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. We're going to try to catch a ghost. We got the recording equipment here, some flashlights. We got a map out to where we're going, and I brought a camera. Did you bring something?
Nope. No camera. Don't have anything.
All right, no problem. And I feel good. I think we're going to make contact with the other side tonight. Maybe. If the girls show up.
Yep, they're there.
There they are.
There they are.
So we headed out for Dudgeon Swamp, and we had some trouble finding the place until one of the girls in our party noticed that the sign said Locust Street, and we were saved.
Yes, it does. I cannot believe you brought that map back.
Good job.
I need reading glasses to see up close, but my distance vision is perfect.
There's Baseline and Locust.
And Locust. Okay, that's perfect. That's exactly where we're supposed to be. Oh, look at this.
How
is
fun
creepy.
Is that? I am already getting scared.
Is this cool or what?
This is just like out of a movie.
Want a drink? No.
I might start drinking again. I'm that scared.
Now, how far up is it supposed to be, do you know?
Oh, no, if we see something, you guys run and leave me.
Oh, we're going to run a lot faster than you.
Oh, yeah. All we have to do is outrun you.
That's why we invited you. You're the bear bait.
If I'm getting my face ripped off by a bear, you will not leave me.
We won't notice.
I will be kicking it in the nuts. Thank you. I'll kick it from behind.
So everything started out just fine. We were having a lot of fun. And then Denise started to feel a little funny just as we approached the very spot where Doc was murdered.
You can feel something.
Yes, I can.
Like what?
Like my chest is getting really heavy.
Cool. We can just back truck in here, whip the tailgate down, and sit on it and just listen.
Yeah, let's do that. This would be a great spot. So we parked the truck in front of a very spooky tree, and I was about to take some shots with the camera to see if we could capture some orbs, and some strange noises told us that we might not be alone.
Are you supposed to use a flash when you're doing the orb thing or not?
Oh my god!
Oh boy, that was a bear. Does a bear shoot in the woods? Yes, we now know, folks. No.
Chris, was that you?
That wasn't
yes, it was. Was that you?
That was not me.
Chris.
Did I ask you to put my finger? No, was that me?
There are spirits here, folks, and apparently they have some digestive issues in the afterlife.
Yeah, just spin around, just take some random shots out into the...
I'm afraid every time I aim this camera, somebody farts.
Are you serious?
Yeah. That's the last time I'm taking you anywhere.
What was that? That Asian? Oh, disgusting.
I have to spit. That was so bad. Oh. I just performed an exorcism, I think.
I can't believe that came out of here.
All right, in the studio tonight, we have Justin Nigger with us for our top 10 list. And how you doing tonight, Justin?
I'm doing great.
All right, Justin, what is the top 10 subject for tonight's top 10 list?
It's the top 10 ways niggers make other niggers good.
Oh, perfect. We could have come up with about 50 of those, but we had to reduce it down to 10, and it was really difficult, might I say. So, let's move it along. Number 10.
Leaving nigglets in a locked car with the windows up on a hot, sunny day.
Yeah, over the summer, we've seen plenty of news stories regarding that, where some sheboon left her nigglet in the car while she was getting her nails did.
It's one way to make ghetto lobster.
Yeah, it's the slow cook, you know, meat off the bone kind of ghetto lobster.
Yeah, they get real tender that way.
Oh, yeah. All right, the number 9.
Driving drunk and killing self and all passengers in a flaming crash.
And, of course, they've had a few 40s of malt liquor before going out on that drive.
Sad thing is they take some humans with them.
Yeah, that's the really bad, depressing part. Number 8.
After selling watered down heroin, selling pure doses that look the same.
Yeah, a lot of drug addicts die that way. They've been buying their watered-down heroin off of niggers for years, and finally the niggers say, oh, we be getting a good stash in, and then they go out and sell it, and a bunch of people die.
Well, you know, that's not a bad thing, really.
No, it's not. I mean, you get rid of the scum of the earth and the niggers, so...
Absolutely.
All right, number 7.
Blows from fists and feet, especially against infant nigglets.
Yes, they are very tough on... I guess I would call it tough love as far as niggers are concerned.
Well, you know, they really care about the future of these nigglets, so they want to teach them right.
Yeah, they want to make them tough so they're ripe and ready to go to prison when they're 13.
They got those extra thick skulls, you know, they can really take it.
Oh, yeah. Number 5.
Unprotected mudlickery, a.k.a. the AIDS.
Yes, and as we all know, niggers around the world have the highest rate of AIDS amongst anybody. Even homosexual males get AIDS less often than niggers do.
Go imagine. I just can't see it.
It's hard to believe, but it's true. You know, at least most gay males are human, so they're smart enough to use condoms, but... See, when you give a condom to a nigger, he blows it up like a balloon and he gives it to little Taniqua for her second birthday.
That's the only thing they'd be getting for their second birthday.
Yeah, they're too cheap to go to the dollar store and pick up 100 pack of balloons. All right, number 5.
Selling drugs laced with toxic chemicals.
Of course, you know, who can forget the niggers that they get their weed and they roll it up in their blunts and they dip it into embalming fluid, and thousands of people get sick by this every day. And in case you, the niggers aren't smart enough to know that embalming fluid is what people put in the dead people when they're dead to preserve the body.
Well, it must be good for you then. When I was a kid, my dad had a shop down in the ghetto, and the niggers used to dip their cigarettes in used motor oil.
You've got
to get high.
You gotta be kidding me.
No. Used motor oil, black as the fucking niggers, and they would smoke that shit, and they would fall down and convulse.
Well, you gotta admit the niggers are very creative and very smart as far as ways of getting high. Number 4.
Run over with a hoopty.
Yeah, that happens a lot, you know. Well, the niggers, when they cross the intersection, they pretty much go at a sloth's pace because they pretty much have a sloth's brain.
Absolutely. They have a thing where they try to get the nigger lottery by getting Whitey to run over them.
Yeah.
Glancing blow, at least.
Yeah, and the very next week, you see them on Judge Judy. Hey, I'd be suing him because he'd be ranning me over in the intersection.
And they're in a full body cast.
Yeah, they're in a full body cast. Yeah, they might have sprained an ankle or bruised a rib, but yeah, they come in with a wheelchair, full body cast, you know. Okay, number 3.
Drenched in boiling water, a.k.a. ghetto lobster.
Yes, this is very popular for either bathing or punishing their nigglets, and maybe if they run out of food, you know, if it's a week before check day and they run out of food, they go, hey, that nigglet be looking good, let's go boil him up and go get us some dinner.
What is it with niggers in hot water? I mean, you know those old cartoons where they have the big steel pot that Whitey gave them and they're boiling up, like, explorers in it? It's like niggers have an affection for hot water. I just don't understand it.
Their central nervous system doesn't connect with their brain fast enough to realize that the water's 190 degrees.
Yeah, just be hot.
Just be hot and shit. She be okay. All right, number 2.
Knife wounds.
Especially in prison.
Yeah, they get shanked all the time.
And the number 1 way that niggers make other niggers good...
Of course, is gunfire.
Yeah. That, you know, if you go into downtown Chicago or Detroit, and, you know, there you go. And that tonight, ladies and gentlemen, was our top 10 list of ways that niggers make other niggers good.
I don't think I love
you. Once upon a time, a team of hungry birds came down on a dead body. It was a dead deer. They sucked their teeth into the dead deer. The vultures were hungry. The vultures ate my dead ass up. The vultures ate the deer like it was going out of style. They were eating on the skull. They were eating like dogs. The vultures ate my dead ass up. The vultures took off like a jet plane. They were flying United. They were flying at 150 miles per hour. They were flying like an airplane. The vultures. The vultures ate my dead ass up. 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 Rock over London, rock on Chicago. Greetings, reference to champions.
But it wasn't long before things took a little more sinister turn. Remember the spooky tree we were parked in front of? Well, what you're gonna hear is an actual enhanced audio clip of a very quiet recording, so there's gonna be some background noise when I turn the volume up. But you're gonna hear Denise talking for a minute, and then suddenly, a huge snap underneath the tree. Nobody was standing near it. Let's take a listen. Something obviously didn't want us there and was trying to scare us off, and whatever it was, it had enough force to snap a 6-inch in diameter tree limb with nobody near it. Let's listen to that snap one more time. But that's not all. No Halloween story would be complete without some actual photographs of ghosts, or at least some orbs. Listen now to what happened when I took a few pictures to try to catch some orbs, and I got a few. But something very strange happened to my camera. Fortunately, the recorder was going at the time, so you can hear it for yourself.
That's weird.
Oh, there you go. Oh,
no, that shit always happens when there's ghosts around the camera stop working.
There we go.
Look at that.
That is screwed up. That's not even a pic. What the heck? You see that?
That is cool.
That's like supposed to show what's going on out here, but we're getting nothing but like smeared images of light.
Stop. This is the spot.
I wish I could take pictures, but it will not let me. So screwed up. I'm going to try to turn it off and back on again. It won't turn off.
Are you getting scared?
Let me take the batteries out and
this,
turn it off.
Do you watch
way.
Ghost Hunters?
Uh-uh.
This kind of shit that always happens.
Serious?
Batteries go dead or it won't take picture. Yeah.
That's right. It was very strange. I could not take a picture of that part of the swamp where the foundation was in the house where those people died. And when every time I tried to, the display on the camera would just show some random changing smears of light in yellow, orange, and red. Anyhow, we made it out of there alive, and we're all a little bit wiser for the experience. And here's a little advice to anyone who's thinking about going into Dungeon Swamp. Don't go alone. Don't stand near that tree. And don't take Denise, because she'll probably just fart and blame it on Chris. Happy Halloween, everyone.